بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In my previous employment, in my previous job, I was responsible for for a number of things, but primarily marketing and communications for a company in Toronto. And one of the things we had to do was get a redesign of the company's website. So I thought about the best way to do that. I didn't know how to do that myself. So we did what a lot of companies do nowadays. We outsourced it to Nepal. And communicated with the guys there, and they said, okay, so you send us a list of requirements of what exactly you need in this website, how you want it to function, and so on, and we'll design it for you. So I sat down, and I figured out, okay, so what type of information are our clients looking for, current clients, potentially new clients, how should this information be organized, how can we make it easy so that someone like me, who doesn't know anything about programming, or someone else who comes into my role can update the website efficiently and properly without having to go through any trouble. So it took some time, and I thought about it, and I laid it out, and I sent the list to them. So they designed the website. And for a long period of time, we went through testing, and there was always some issues, some bug here and there. I would tell them, they would fix it back and forth. I actually felt bad because I had to go back so many times. But anyway, we did that, and then finally I thought we had the best of everything. So I had designed the best possible website. Well, they had designed the best possible website that I could think of, and everything was good. But yesterday I was speaking to the new person who's in charge of this type of stuff, and he, having this discussion with him, he pointed out that there was a weakness, or there was a fault that I had looked over, that I hadn't noticed. So it turns out that after all this energy and all this time that I put into planning and testing and so on, in the end, it still wasn't perfect and it still needed some improvement. So this stands for all our actions, but in the same way, this is the same case for ourselves as well. We all are weak in one way or the other. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it an inherent quality of human beings to be weak. That's how Allah has designed us. So no matter how perfect I think I am, no matter how knowledgeable I think I am, no matter what I look like, no matter what I've studied, no matter how good people think I am, no matter what my position, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a sinner, we are all going to be sinners, we are all going to have shortcomings, and we are all going to make mistakes. Now what happens is, sometimes when we interact with one another, we are faced with, or we discover, the shortcomings or the weaknesses of others, or things that appear to be weaknesses or shortcomings. So what do we do? What do we do in that case? So a lot of times we have an inclination, a natural inclination, to discuss things with one another. So, we'll start talking, whether it's over a cup of coffee or a plate of biryani or couscous or whatever you like. And we'll start talking about other people and telling them, discussing these weaknesses and these shortcomings that we have observed. Now, we have to be very careful about this, because when we do that, we are exposing ourselves to two types of risk. When we do that, we are exposing ourselves to two types of risks. And it's really easy to fall into this. So, you shouldn't be sitting here thinking, okay, that doesn't really apply to me. I mean, it applies to myself, first of all. But it applies to all of us, because it's very easy to fall into this trap. So first of all, the first risk that we expose ourselves to, number one, is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, and we end up risking eating the flesh of our brother or sister. And yeah, that's cow. How is that possible? Well, if you're talking about someone we are backbiting. And that is likened to eating the flesh of one's dead brother. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it. Now, I might have mentioned this before, but we need to be very clear on what exactly is backbiting. Right? A lot of times, we'll be talking and among ourselves about someone, and if someone points it out to us that we shouldn't be backbiting, we might think, well, what I'm saying is not false, and I'm speaking the truth, so it's okay. But in fact, it's not, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked the same question of his companions, where he said, do you know what is backbiting? Do you actually know what is ghibah? Do you know what is backbiting? And the companions radiallahu anhum replied, they didn't say, yes, we know, it's this and that. Rather, what did they say? Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, right? That Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. That was the standard reply. That was the standard reply when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask a question. The companions radiallahu anhum wouldn't show off how much they know. Rather, they would show how little they know. They wouldn't show how much they know, even if they knew the answer. Rather, they would show how little they know so that they could benefit and learn from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, that Allah and his Prophet know best. Thereupon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them that backbiting implies that you're talking about your brother in a manner which he does not like. That you're speaking about your brother behind, or your sister, behind his or her back in a manner that he or she would not like. Then it was said to him, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked that, what is your opinion about this, that if I actually find that weakness in my brother, which I made a mention of? So basically, what if what I'm saying is actually true? What if that person is actually like that? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if that weakness is actually found in that person, in what you're saying, then that is backbiting. If it's actually found, if it's actually true, that is backbiting. And if it's not, it's even worse. If it's not found, and if that is not in him, then that is slander. Slandering is even worse than backbiting, right? So when you're backbiting, you're talking about someone in a way that they don't like, and it's true. And if you're slandering, you're talking about someone in a bad way, about something which is not even true. So even the fact that it's true doesn't make it okay. In fact, that precisely is the definition of backbiting. Now, this is a very serious disease. You know how you have the flu going around everywhere, right? So this is a very serious disease, and none of us are immune to this. None of us are immune to this. No matter, you know, how educated we are, no matter how religious we think we are, it's unfortunately extremely difficult to find a conversation where you have a number of people who have gotten together for some time, and sooner or later that conversation is going to head where? Straight into backbiting. So none of us are immune of this, and this is something that a lot of times we don't even realize that we're doing. So that's the first risk that we expose ourselves to. The second risk that we expose ourselves to is exposing our own misdeeds. Now, you know, we have privacy laws in this country, right? We have privacy laws. Every time you go to a website and you sign up for something and you put in your information, there's like, you know, about your privacy, and there's all these details about how your privacy is going to be protected. You know, the government has a privacy commissioner. So we take these, you know, privacy very seriously. And if there's a breach of privacy, for example, you know, if our financial information, our bank account info, or our health files, our private details get exposed, it's considered a very serious breach. Now imagine in the same way, if all the sins that we have committed throughout our entire life, and none of us can fool ourselves and think that we haven't really committed many sins, because we are all sinners, we all make mistakes, we all have a past. Everyone has something that they could think of right now that you regret doing. And if you don't, then maybe you need to think again. So imagine having all our sins, you know, being publicly posted, publicly announced. Is this something we would want? No, we would not. So the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the person who covers the faults of another Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover his or her faults on the Day of Judgment. Man satara musliman, satara Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover his or her faults on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us privacy for all our misdeeds, for all our sins. But what is the condition? That if we offer the same courtesy, if we have the same approach towards others and their shortcomings and their sins. So these are two very convincing reasons for covering the faults of others and not discussing them amongst ourselves. Now there's an exception to this. It's an exception to this that if a crime has been committed, or if we know of a crime that is about to be committed, and someone has either been injured or killed, or someone is going to be injured or killed because of this, then we have a responsibility to seek justice for the victims. We have a responsibility to alert authorities, to let someone who is responsible know about this, so that this plot could either be thwarted or the people responsible can be brought to justice. But other than that, we have to be extremely careful. We need to be extremely careful about how we conduct ourselves when it comes to the weaknesses and the shortcomings of others. And the reason for that, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be careful? Right? What's the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to be careful? The reason for that is that if we are not careful, it's possible that we'll make a decision, a judgment, or an assumption that is incorrect. And we all know that we are all accountable for our deeds, and some of the worst deeds, there's a number of them, but some of the worst deeds are slander and that of making a false accusation about someone. So much so that even in a serious situation, such as a battle, for example, where the stakes are very high, and it's very easy to not be careful, because you're in such a serious situation where it's easy to just make quick decisions and not really think about what exactly is being done. In a situation where everyone is on edge, even in that type of situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers to be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. When you go in the path of Allah, if you are in the path of Allah in a battle, investigate carefully. Investigate carefully. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. If you come across a person who says assalamu alaykum to you, do not say that, oh, you're not a Muslim, you're not a believer. Even in the situation, in as serious as a battle, if a person comes up to you, and this is, and I'll go into why or when this verse was revealed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even in that type of situation, don't take any action if a person says assalamu alaykum, meaning it's a sign of their faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ. Afterwards he says, that you yourselves were like that before, meaning that you would hide your faith, or you would be ashamed of telling your faith. So if somebody comes and says to you of a sudden assalamu alaykum, don't presume that he's just lying. Don't assume that he's just lying and he's just trying to get away and he wants your protection, that's why he's saying that to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, right? So therefore, carefully investigate, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, for Allah is well aware of all that you do. Now there are many reasons that have been reported as the reason for the revelation of this verse. One of them is an incident of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. So he led a expedition. He reached the area where they were going, and most of the people had left except for a wealthy man. So this person, when Miqdad radiallahu anhu came upon this person, the person read the shahada. He said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh." But despite that, Miqdad radiallahu anhu killed him. So a person that was there said, okay, I'm going to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this, because that was wrong. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he found out about this, he asked him, he said, oh Miqdad, did you kill a man who proclaimed ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what will you do when that shahada comes and faces you on the day of judgment, when that comes in front of you and you face it, then what are you going to do? And the Prophet ﷺ told him he was a believing man who hid his faith among disbelieving people, and he announced his faith to you, but you killed him. Although you used to do the same before, meaning you used to hide your faith as well in Mecca. And this hadith has been related by Imam Bukhari. There's another similar story of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who had a similar incident. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked him, did you then split open his heart so that you know whether he truly meant it or not? Meaning that, you know, did you have so much knowledge or power that you actually went inside his heart and peeked and saw whether he really had iman or not? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said in a separate context, but has said that I have not been ordered to search the hearts of the people or cut open their bellies. Meaning, this is not my job to actually see, you know, to really investigate and find out who really is speaking the truth in terms of their sincerity or not. So this shows us two things. First of all, Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are reminding us about our past, that we should think of our own past shortcomings when we feel like being harsh with someone for a shortcoming. Because we all have a past, we all have sinned. You know, no matter how good we think we are, a friend of mine had a very good motto. He used to blog online, and he had a good motto where he said, every scholar has a past, every sinner has a future. Right? Every scholar has a past, every sinner has a future. I'm not sure if you made that up or you got that from somewhere else, but I found that to be very interesting, because it's very true that every single person has some skeletons in their closet, has something that they regret. So when we see someone, we come across someone, and we feel like reprimanding them, we feel like being harsh to them, we should remember that we also were in similar situations before. We also had instances where we were not perfect, where we still are not perfect, but where we did things that we now regret. So we should be very careful, first of all. Secondly, we can never know what really is inside people's hearts. Right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has that knowledge. So what do we do then? We assume the best for everyone. What do? We assume the best for everyone. If we see someone, if we come across something that we don't understand, that we think is wrong, we try to make excuses for the person because we don't know exactly what is their intention, right? We don't know exactly why they're doing it, what their situation is. So we try to assume the best for them, and we give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, if we really, truly need to speak to someone, you know, or to address someone's weaknesses, for example, and this probably would happen in exceptionally rare cases, if you want to offer nasiha, if you want to offer counsel, good counsel, then we should do it in a sensitive, in an appropriate manner, and we should do it privately so that our intentions are not tainted. Because what can happen is, you know, we like to tell ourselves that we're doing this because we want to help this person, we want to guide them, but in fact, you know, we're also sort of enjoying this as well because we're going to cause them some embarrassment. So rather, we should advise them privately, we should advise them nicely, and if we ever really need to speak about someone's weaknesses for some reason, rarely it should happen, but if we need to, then we should balance out our statements by highlighting the positive qualities as well, right? Because everyone has weaknesses, everyone has strengths, right? So if we need to do this, and there is a convincing, a compelling reason to do this, then if we point out some weaknesses, we should also point out some positive points, some strengths, so that we don't deceive ourselves, we don't enjoy doing this, rather we try to do it as fairly as possible. Finally, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly prohibited us from being amongst those who are conveyors and spreaders of indecency. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sternly warned that for them shall be a torment, afflicted not only in the hereafter but in this world as well. First of all. Secondly, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says that blessed is he. We all want to be blessed, right? By Allah. So blessed is he who is preoccupied with his own defects rather than those of other people. Once again, blessed is the person who is preoccupied who knows that he or she, him or herself is so weak and so filled with weaknesses and sins and shortcomings that it just keeps him or her busy and doesn't give the person the chance to look at others looking for defects. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to look at our own shortcomings, our own deficiencies, and allow us to rectify ourselves. And at this point, I just want a short announcement. There are some brothers and sisters who may be having difficulty with their studies or with their work. So please remember them in your dua and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the best in this world and in the hereafter.